Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. Thank you for your patience. No daily yesterday and a short one on Friday, but it's good to be back with you guys here talking green and gold to Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. And it's also kind of crazy to think that I will be in Wisconsin next week. Holy Toledo. Packers. The draft, it's all happening, folks. And speaking of happening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do not miss a very special edition of Packer Transplants Live tomorrow, right here on the YouTube channel. We have Packers safety Evan Williams joining us. Before Corey and I dive into our nonsense, we're going to talk to Evan about his rookie season, what he's been up to this offseason, his plans for 2025 and beyond as a Packer. Gonna be a lot of fun. Hope you guys will join us right here, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, Packer Transplants Live on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Don't miss it. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and mostly because I get to talk to you guys. We all know Packers fans worldwide are what we are all about here at Cheesehead TV, and I thank each and every one of you for utilizing Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form to connect to the Green Bay Packers, because that's, you know, essentially why we're all here, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you're all doing well. I had a great weekend down in New Orleans. Went to a wedding. I got a little too stupid. It was a lot of fun. I am definitely still dragging today, so I apologize for maybe my lack of energy comparative to normal, because holy cow, I didn't get in, we didn't get home until 1 a.m. last night, up early today. It's been a time, but always ready to talk some Packers with you guys. And talk about the fact that the Packers seemingly, very carefully as per their norm, doing their homework on the offensive tackle class in the upcoming draft. And I think we've all expected, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle, wide receiver, and cornerback to be a focal point of this draft. I don't doubt for a moment that they're going to exit the proceedings with most of those positions in tow. But I will admit, offensive tackle, now a premium position, always one you're going to be looking at. There's no doubt about it. But the fact that they have now brought in, I believe, 4 offensive tackles for their pre-draft visits of the 30 that are allotted, I mean, yeah, that's notable, I think. The latest that has been reported, and that's the other thing, we don't know every single one up to this point. Usually we get reports of who's in-house, but that doesn't mean it's exhaustive. But Tom Silverstein reporting that North Carolina State offensive tackle Anthony Belton is slated to have a visit with the Green and Gold. This is a guy who I would suspect is maybe just hovering around a top 100 pick. So it's not like this is some deep cut selection or what have you, but you know, a big monster of a man and a guy who would definitely fit the bill if they're looking to get bigger, more road grader types along their offensive front. Interesting that they're going to have him in. They've also had Dalton Cooper from Oklahoma State. Now, that's a guy who I would definitely think is more of a late day two, early day three guy. Probably a day three guy, but guy who can play on both sides. Certainly something that, you know, they're going to be looking for as far as you want that depth across the board. And right now they seemingly have what they need when it comes to tackle, when you talk about, obviously, Zach Tom about to get paid, Rashid Walker, that depends on, I think, a big part of what happens this season. We've talked about that a bunch here on the channel. But also, you know, you have the selection of Jordan Morgan sitting right there from last season. And you're thinking, well, okay, didn't they just take a tackle? But if you'll remember back with my chat with Matt Miller a couple weeks ago, you know, a lot of folks, and maybe including the Packers, have him pegged strictly as a guard, despite everything they've said publicly, because I know they've talked a lot about, oh, he's going to compete at guard, Brian Gutekunst just talked about that at the league meetings the other day. No question that this is something that he will be allowed to do. I don't doubt for a moment he'll be allowed to compete, but they may be expecting him to start at guard, despite that, you know, tackle competition. Another tackle they've looked at is Josh Simmons from Ohio State. And that's if that ends up being a selection for the Green Bay Packers, I know Packers fans will probably not react well. Guy coming off what was reportedly an ACL, but could be something else. I know there's a potential that he misses a decent amount of time in 2025, despite some initial reports. But the talent is undeniable. But this is why you bring a guy in for a pre-draft visit, right? To get the lay of the land, both as the prospect, but also certainly medically, and what the potential is for missed time, etc. And then finally, they have a deep cut. You talk about a guy who's probably not even on most boards, from Washington State, Esa Pohl, who I know our guy Brian put out there as having a pre-draft visit. Now, this is, you know, most likely an undrafted type, but you know, you're scouring and you're looking at guys who really made a nice jump from 2023 to 2024. That he certainly fits the bill. You would think projecting in the right way, heading in the right direction, so to speak. Maybe that's a guy that they've tried to get ahead of as far as, okay, we're winding down late in the draft. Maybe they do take a flyer on him. Maybe they pull the trigger on a seventh round pick, but more likely they are saying, you know, trying to get both an idea of the player and let's get ahead on that undrafted free agent sweepstakes, right? Where agents are taking a bunch of calls and trying to talk about, you know, oh, you're going to have a real chance here, and we see the vision for your future in our program, etc. And here's the path. Maybe that's the pitch that they're making there. All this to say, it's very clear. And I will admit that when I read Matt Miller's piece, the 7-round mock draft a couple weeks ago, talking about how the Packers are reportedly, or you know, through the rumor mill draft wise, looking at tackles, I was, you know, interested, but I wasn't too curious. But given now that they've brought at least 4 dedicated tackles in, and I know they've brought another offensive lineman in, though he's more interior and a more interior guy, a center. Yeah, the tackle thing is interesting. That certainly, you know, understandably, you win up front and you've got to make sure that you're doing your due diligence. But the fact that, you know, they are somewhat focused on that position, I think it, A, is smart business, and B, yeah, I do think there's a decent chance they come out of this draft with another tackle somewhere along the line. It could be on any of the 3 days. And yes, I include day one in that equation. But yeah, I think it's obvious that you look at the way things definitely fell apart at times last year when injuries struck up front. You want to make sure you're continuously stocking the shelves, so to speak, at offensive tackle, a position that, look, it's a premium. We have no question about that when you talk about edge rusher, corner, and tackle being the big three. You know, a quarterback is its own thing. Those are the three positions that you absolutely have to get the most amount of talent that you can at that position at all times. And, you know, they've done things in the past, like, you know, the Caleb Joneses of the world, trying to bring him along until it's time to move on, which they did last season, which is a swing and a miss as far as trying to develop a guy. But there's also the Yosh Nijmans of the world, right, where you redshirt him for a couple years and now he's starting for you and giving you really quality starts for a couple years. You know, between that and finding both of their starting tackles on day 3 of the same draft in Rashid Walker and Zach Tom, always looking for it, always finding that talent. That's what you want. You absolutely love it. So just an interesting note that I thought, you know, while we're leading up to the draft, a draft that, by the way, could have been held like 2 weeks ago, but the NFL loves drawing it out. Always good to find stuff to talk about. And you know who finds stuff to talk about is Packers fans at Cheesehead TV. I see you guys lining up already. Before I get to your comments and your questions, do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're going to be in Green Bay for the draft, come on out the night before things kick off in earnest for the NFL draft. Corey and I will be hanging out at Stage 1 in downtown Green Bay Wednesday, April 23rd from 8 to 11. Carrie the G will be on special. We've got some giveaways. We got special guests coming on throughout the night. Come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Whole lot of fun. Downtown Green Bay, the Cheesehead TV NFL Draft meetup at Stage 1. Hope to see you there. And hey, before this, the draft gets here, make sure you get your Cheesehead TV draft guide. You can get the link in the description of this video. It'll take you to the place where you need to be to get the 15th edition of the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Everything you need to know. Be the smartest person in the room during the draft with our guide. You guys know it's good because I did nothing to produce it. It's people who actually know what the hell they're talking about when it comes to the draft. That's what you want. All right, what's going on, folks? How we doing? We got Big Mike starting us off with a super chat. How are you, Big Mike? Can you make a video with places of interest for the draft? I'll be going and haven't been in Green Bay too much. Just don't know where to go. Go Pack, go. Big Mike, that's a fun idea. You can find my top five things to do in Green Bay here on the channel. If you just search YouTube, you'll find it. Yeah, I think you just need Nagler's top five, and you'll probably find it. But I do have a video with some of my favorite places to go in the Green Bay area. But yeah, you're right. I should do a kind of an updated version, probably. That's not a bad idea. But you should check it out, Big Mike. Thanks for the support. Soder, how are you, sir? So it looks like they may have to, quote, reach if they want to go wide receiver or corner in the early rounds. This will cause a draft value debate that I will ignore. Oh, man, there is no greater disservice that the draft industrial complex has done to the average football fan. And I'm not talking just Packers, football fans, than the complete hyperfixation on the word value. And the fact that, oh, this was great value, that was poor value, whatever. Man, get the player you want. And if you do that, that's successful. And I understand maybe you gave up a little bit more than someone else would have. I just, as a fan, this is the player they wanted. Let's see how it plays out, at least through the first couple years of their, you know, career, than, you know, damning them because they gave up whatever they did for said player. I mean, that's how I roll. I know your mileage may vary, but this hyper fixation when it comes to the team building aspect on value and who got good value and who overpaid and all this stuff, man, if you get the player you want, none of that really matters a whole hell of a lot. Now I get it. This is what especially the internet fandom has become, right? Especially because the NFL has the longest offseason of all the major sports. So we spend all this time going over and nitpicking and poking holes in things. And we kind of cave in on ourselves as fans. And we look at all those things with a fine tooth comb. But ultimately, all that matters is what happens on the field with the players that they have assembled. And not to say that they're infallible, not to say they don't make mistakes. Of course they do. Everybody does, literally every team. But the ultimate is the sum of the parts and what do they accomplish with it. And I get it. Packers haven't closed the deal on a championship in a long time. I'm not discounting that. I'm not dismissing it. They have won a boatload more games than most teams in the NFL. But I understand it isn't hang the banners for winning a bunch of games. It's all about championships. But you sitting here as a fan in April or May talking about they gave up too much for XYZ player before he even steps on a football field in the NFL is asinine, regardless of what the Packers have or haven't accomplished. I have to say my truth. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks to the super chat. Thoughts on players drafted for one position but ended up excelling at another position? I think it's rare, Ed. I know that has happened and does happen, but I don't think it's a regular occurrence as far as guys, you know, having played one position for much of their mostly college career and then transitioning in the NFL. Not saying it doesn't, but it is a rare occurrence. So I don't have too many thoughts on it other than it's a pretty big gamble. Jason, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Will you be submitting your mock draft before the real draft? And will Mike Renner be making an appearance on Cheesehead TV? I should talk to Mike. No doubt about it. I'm actually going to be talking with Emery Hunt later this week. I know he just had his draft guide drop. Emery and I go way back. Love him. Talk to him each and every draft season. Mostly try and focus on like day three guys we haven't talked about or heard about a billion times at this point in the process. But yeah, I will reach out to Mike. Big fan of Mike. Does great work. And no, I will not be submitting my mock draft because I won't be doing a mock draft. The only mock draft I'm going to do this year, and this is true, is the day before the draft in Green Bay, I will be at the mall. And myself, Andy Herman, Corey Behnke, I think Paul Breddle might stop by. Maybe a few other folks. We're going to be doing kind of a Q&A at the mall, and we're going to be going through a mock draft. As a group, we're going to be kind of talking through it the first round, and that is the only mock I am going to be participating in this year. So if you want to get any kind of inkling about what I'm thinking when it comes to the NFL draft and the first round, get to the mall on Wednesday in 2 weeks. Joe, how are you, man? I think Josh Simmons tore his patellar tendon, not his ACL, and says he'll be ready for training camp. I read what he said. I also know that that's probably putting the best spin possible on it. You never know. And that's why they have him in for the visit, right? And they get the actual medicals and see what the prognosis is. But yeah, that's the hope, right? Absolutely. But you never really know. The medical info is one of the most prized and precious things. The NFL teams, doctors, etc. That's why they go to the combine. That's why they get this kind of these pre-draft visits, and they take the, you know, dive into everything about this player and the prospect, and including what the, you know, potential timeline is. But that's the hope, and I would love it. And I think he'd be a really good player. Again, player coming off injury, though, you know, Packers fans will, you know, be doing cartwheels, so to speak. Big Al, thanks again, man. Packers draft stereotype missing on cornerback beside Jair, selecting a good wide receiver in second round, finding good O-line in later rounds, and missing on third round picks. Well, you know, but they've turned it around on the third round, I would say. I mean, Sean Ryan has become a viable starter and a pretty damn good one. And hell, Tucker Kraft looks like he's legit as hell. So I think we've made turn the corner on the third round thing, the third round misses. But I hear you. There's certainly things you can always expect from the green and gold. No doubt about it. This Soder, I have a Robin Sparkles Let's Go to the Mall t-shirt. I think you and most people at this point, that's a... It's a question. It's a moral imperative at this point. Brandon, I got to agree with you, man. A Zach Tom extension has to be around the corner, right? Yeah, I mean, it could occur anytime this offseason. Maybe they push it right up till the start of camp. Maybe they do it right at this, you know, first week of camp. They've done all these things before. They do like to tend to, you know, have that good bit of news to start camp. And maybe they get it, you know, although we said that all last summer with the Jordan Love extension, that somehow lasted a week into camp. I would not expect that to happen with Zach Tom. Hopefully they get that done this summer. If not before, I mean, they could get it done right now. Could get it done and announced while we're talking. But yeah, I would be absolutely shocked if that isn't done prior to the start of training camp. Let's put it that way. Chuck Goodman says Valentine in the seventh was a great pick. I mean, he's been way better than I expected, especially after, you know, looking at his college tape and seeing what he was being asked to do his rookie year and training camp. I got to admit, I was not sold that there was going to be a player there, and he has proven me dead wrong, especially this past season. I think he has improved each and every week. I think there's no doubt that he will compete. And I think he's kind of the forgotten man with a Hobbs signing. And then you've got Keyshawn essentially naming himself cornerback one. You know, I think Valentine is going to be heard from. And I think he's way better, like I said, way better than I expected. Oh, Rai, what if. Would LaFleur and Prime Favre have had success? Yes. Without question, that would have been absolutely fucking amazing. Yes, no question about it. Gino, I hear you, man. Big Al, that's an interesting question. Out of all the cornerbacks the Packers selected in the last 10 years, which player had more potential? Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Kevin King, or Josh Jackson? Probably Kevin King, actually. And I know, you know, he's kind of persona non grata at this point, especially after the NFC Championship game. But yeah, man, I think King had everything you needed. Just really couldn't put it together. Never really hit that ceiling. But, you know, you're talking about Quentin Rollins, Demarius Randall, who should have been a safety from the jump. And Josh Jackson, I was never on the Jackson train. I know I've told the story a million times, but when I was on the beat, I kept him off of my first round mock draft, and people were furious and sending all sorts of hate emails to my Gannett address. And then it turned out I was right. He didn't get drafted in the first round. But yeah, King should have been way better than he was. Drew, this is incredibly kind. Been watching since I was 17. I'm 24 now. Thank you for always being there. I appreciate everything y'all do. Go Pack Go. That is really nice of you to say, and I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, especially after, you know, some of the crap you get online day in and day out on the internet because you have an opinion about the Green Bay Packers. It's good times, but I really appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Soder, good question. Odds they go tight end early between Warren Loveland and Fannin, there could be value. I said, I think right at the start of the offseason, that I thought tight end was a bit of a sneaky need this year, simply because you don't really know what you got in Musgrave yet, and he's reaching the halfway point on his rookie deal. Ben Sims, who knows what's going to happen there. Tyler Davis, yet another season-ending injury. You need someone as a move. You need someone as that kind of move tight end type that they don't really have right now. So I suspect they draft one. I think there's a chance they draft one, but I'd be surprised if they drafted one early. But to your point, if the board falls a certain way and whoever the tight end is the best value, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled that trigger. You know, if all the wide receivers are basically clumped together value-wise on their board and the tight end is, you know, head and shoulders above them, yeah, maybe he pulls that. I wouldn't be surprised. Jerry, how are you? Good to see you. Do you have any thoughts on Shamar Stewart? I just saw that Chris Sims says he's second only to the big dog that's going at number two. Jerry, I actually had a great conversation with Justice about this here on the channel a couple weeks ago. If you check it out, the video, I think on the thumbnail, it's Shamar Stewart and LVN, and it's about traits versus production in college. We had a very long talk about Shamar. I would absolutely be over the moon if they got a chance to select him and did so. I don't think they're going to get a chance to. I think he's going to be gone before pick 23, but, you know, yes, I would love it if he was in green and gold. I know the arguments against it. I know Packers fans are sick of workout warriors who have great testing and who have not stockpiled a bunch of sacks in college. I don't think that plays much with Shamar for the reasons we talked about in that video. Definitely hope you'll check it out. Deshaun says, why can't we ever draft an elite first round pass rusher? Because most elite, if you're talking true elite pass rushers, are taken in the top 10. You know, that's why the Lucas Van Ness selection is so frustrating, because he's done so little his first 2 years. And I know he spoke a little bit about it today, because the Packers kicked off their tailgate tour around Wisconsin, which he's participating in. He knows the pressure's on. He knows this year it is put up or shut up time. It's very apparent that he understands the assignment. But often it's not because you picked the wrong guy. It's because of where the Packers are drafting. You know, when you win as many games as the Packers do, you're often drafting 20 or later. A lot of times they're like 23, 25. You know, and that's just not where elite prospects land. So, yes, every once in a while, someone gets a Max Crosby later in the draft. But by and large, you're getting those guys in the top 10. And the Packers are hardly ever, if ever, in that range. And again, that is what makes the Lucas Van Ness selection premium and so frustrating. Gilgamesh, what a name. Higgins or Royals, either way, I'd love it. I'm on that train as well. Those are my two favorite receivers for the Packers in this draft. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Golden. I know my co-host on the Draft Industrial Complex, Tyler, is all in on Golden. And I like him. I don't love him. I love Higgins for the Packers, and I love Royals for the Packers. I'm in on that, no doubt about it. Oh, I mean, this is an extension of what we were just talking about. If Tyler Warren falls to Green Bay, would they go tight end? Whew. I think he's going to be a special player. Feels a bit rich for me at a tight end in the first round, even if one as talented as Warren looks to be. Never say never, but I would be surprised. Now, that said, the reasons for doing it are pretty apparent. I mean, the guy would change a lot of the construct of your offense as far as not just having, you know, obviously his physical presence, but his ability downfield, even out of the backfield as a, you know, type of weapon, and your ability then to kind of free up Tucker Kraft to become more of a receiving threat, which is something they definitely are looking to do this season. And that gives you Musgrave as your kind of X factor, and whatever you get is just a bonus at this point. And look, I don't want to like dismiss Musgrave, because I do think there's still a lot of untapped potential there. But at some point, he has missed a ton of time and has not offered a ton while he's on the field so far. So, you know, if you're constantly looking forward, right, you're always looking down the line, as the Packers are, you know, you take a talent like Warren, who, yeah, has the potential to be really pretty damn special. That's why I wouldn't completely dismiss it. I don't think it's likely, but not impossible. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, even if you're here every day at 5 and we talk and, you know when I'm going to be live and you know pretty much when we drop stuff. It really helps our channel if you subscribe. So please hit subscribe and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.